Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the Gospel just read from St. Luke chapter 18. Be seated. Our Lord is getting ready to go up to Jerusalem to suffer and die for the sins of the whole world. As he goes up to Jerusalem, he tells his disciples what is going to happen. Everything that was prophesied about me, and the law, and the prophets, and the Psalms, is about to come true. I will be delivered up to the Gentiles. I will be mocked, shamefully treated, spat upon. They will flog me. They will kill me. And on the third day, I will rise up from the dead. Then you have one of these texts that amuses us in kind of a sad way. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. I don't know about you, but it sounded pretty clear to me what was going to happen. He was going to die. He was going to rise again from the dead. But what seems clear to you and I on this side of the resurrection was not clear at all to them. They couldn't understand how God could do these things. It was hard enough to believe that Jesus was God in the flesh in the first place. How could God suffer? How could God die? How could this God-man rise again from the dead? They didn't get it. It was beyond what they could possibly grasp. And so, in order to understand why they didn't get it, we have to take a little journey over to the epistle. 1 Corinthians 13. I want you to know I did not plan that reading for Valentine's Day. It just worked that way. 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter in St. Paul's epistles, talks about how love is the greatest thing of all. Kind of sounds like a Beatles song or something. What Paul is talking about, though, when he talks about love, is he is not simply talking about emotions, flowers, and chocolate, and the like. In fact, I doubt if that was on his mind at all. What Paul is talking about here when he talks about love is he is talking about God. God is love. That is who he is. And by love, I mean that God is completely self-giving. God gives everything. Listen again to these words from the epistle with me changing one little word. God is patient and kind. God does not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. He is not irritable or resentful. God does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. God bears all things, endures all things. God never ends. In other words, love, God, is all about giving completely of himself. That's what love is, after all. Thinking of the other above yourself. Of giving whatever is necessary, regardless of the cost. That's what they couldn't grasp, was that level of love that God has for his creation, for sinners like you and I. And so they go on. Jesus draws near to Jerusalem to die. And as they go on, there is a blind man on the side of the road, begging. You can imagine that the disciples and the crowds were not really pleased with this. Here is this great prophet, mighty in word and deed. He is going to be entering triumphantly into Jerusalem. And here's this guy sitting on the road, ruining the scene. Imagine what would have happened if the poor had been invited to the Olympic opening. Would have ruined everything. And yet that's what we have here. The man hears that something is happening and asks what's going on. They say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And then he does something that, if possible, could only embarrass them all the more. He cries out, Jesus of Nazareth, son of David, have mercy on me. You can imagine the picture. Shh! Keep it down. Keep your cries to a dull roar. We don't want to bother him. We don't want him to be troubled by your problems. Just get going. Shh! Away. Be gone. But the more they shush him, the louder he gets. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He cries out to God in need. Jesus then, and you can imagine this parade of people following him, stops in his tracks, tells the man to come over. He comes over and Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do? Kind of an interesting question, isn't it? Didn't Jesus know what he wanted? Of course he did. Sometimes Jesus gives us the opportunity to confess our need. Sometimes Jesus gives us the opportunity to give voice to our deepest sorrows, our deepest troubles. Not for his sake. He does love to hear our prayers. Really for our own sake. He does this so that we can confess what is really going on. That's what it means to rejoice in the truth, to recognize the level of our own troubles, of our own great need. So Jesus asks him, what do you want? And the man tells him, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus then says, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Which is kind of another way for Jesus to say, you put your trust in the right place. You came to the right place to receive what you needed. Your faith has made you well because you trusted in me to do what you needed. Immediately he recovered his sight, glorifying God, and followed Jesus. Now, what does this have to do with Jesus' prophecy at the beginning about what was going to happen to him? What does this have to do with love? It has this to do with love. Jesus going to Jerusalem to die and to rise again from the dead was not simply about fulfilling some prophecies. He wasn't kind of following a playbook that he needed to complete in order to get everything right, kind of check it off of his list. Jesus, rather, was going to Jerusalem to answer the cry of faith, not just of the blind man, but of you, of me, and of the whole world. Have mercy on us, God. We cannot do this ourselves. Have mercy on us. We need you. Forgive our sins. Give us what we truly need because we are powerless without you. And so Jesus, in love, does what only God can really do. He gives it all away. He goes. He suffers. He dies. He rises. And he delivers himself to you even now. That man, Bartimaeus, we sometimes call him, the blind man, received his sight. You this day receive even more than he did. You receive the forgiveness of sins. Everything Jesus won for you on the cross out of great love for you is now yours. What do you want me to do? He asks you. Faith replies, give it all to me. Faith always asks more than we can possibly believe is even there. Faith looks to the impossible. And guess what? God grants it. God answers your prayers. He forgives your sins. He gives you life. He gives you hope. He gives you a future. Like this blind man who had no future, he gives you an eternal future in him. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.